answers to those questions and begin to awaken people to faith, to belief. Father, if there are people here today struggling with bitterness and anger and hatred, and it's blocked their ability to understand that there is a loving, forgiving, gracious God, I pray that they'll begin to let go of that, and they'll begin to forgive where forgiveness is needed and receive forgiveness when it's needed to be received. Lord, if there are some folks here today who have just walked in to check things out, Father, I pray you will bless them, that they'll leave encouraged, that, Father, you'll challenge their life. And now, Lord, as we look to your word, we thank you for it. We ask your blessings and your guidance now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I skipped out last week, so let me say Happy New Year. Okay, nobody's happy. This whole back is like, call the Undertakers, right? All right. Happy New Year. Oh, awesome. Good to see you guys. Well, where are Grace Kids today? Grace Kids, where are you? Let's tell them we love them. JD has them today, so Jay, they're in great hands. Dean, JD. All right, he has got them. Good job. Excellent. Well, one thing is for sure, in as we start our 2019, many of you know that we sort of like to focus on a theme for 2019, and today we're sort of kicking off that theme a little bit. Next week it'll be in toto, but next week we'll be starting a series called Let It Go, because here's what we know: to have a great 2019, you got to let go of 2018. Just the victories you've had in 2018 are great, but that doesn't guarantee you victories in 2019. You got to work hard. All the disappointments you've had in 2018, we can't carry that with us into 2019, because that'll hold us back and we won't be able to excel. So we're going to let it go. I promise you, I will not sing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, we may play the Let It Go song, right, just because you guys would find it nauseating. It'd be funny. So we're going to start about letting go, but today, before we start talking about letting things go, I need to ask you to do something 2019. I need to ask you to stand up. See, there's three types of people that you're going to encounter in 2019, and we're going to look at them today from God's Word. You're going to find people who are stuck up, right? You're going to find people who suck up, right? Or kiss up, probably. Let me be a little bit more politically correct. That kiss up, right? But then you're going to find people who stand up. And in Daniel chapter 3, if you have your Bibles or your device, you can turn to Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at those three types of people that you're going to encounter in 2019. And here's the challenge for you. The challenge for you is to rise above it and to be a stand-up person in the middle of all that other stuff. Now, as you're turning there, let me sort of set the pace for you where we are. Nebuchadnezzar is king. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. If you go back and study ancient civilizations, and you look at like the top 10 ancient civilizations of all time, Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar is going to be in the top 5 of any list you look at. Now, here's why Nebuchadnezzar was so successful. A lot of people, particularly back then, when they would move in and take over a region, they would decimate everybody. I mean, you either bowed a knee or they wiped you out. People like the Huns, Attila the Hun and those guys, Genghis Khan, all right? Those guys would move in and just wipe everybody out. But Nebuchadnezzar had a little bit different philosophy. When he moved in and took over an area, it didn't matter what it was, he would go in and find the brightest and the smartest and the most capable people, particularly teenagers. He would bring them into the palace. They came into his tribe, his team, and then he would train them to be part of his kingdom. Now, that did two things. One, it bridged a sort of a racial gap, right? That ethnicity gap. So he would move in, like in this situation, when he took over Israel. He found at least 4 guys that we know of that he took into his court and made a part of his team. He took Daniel, we know that, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So those are 3 guys we know he incorporated into his team because they were incredibly bright and incredibly smart. And this story we're going to look at today, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel had been in captivity for about 15 to 20 years. So what happened is they were probably taken into captivity when they were teenagers. So now they're probably around 30. We don't know for sure, maybe late 20s, early 30s. But what we do know is they advanced in Nebuchadnezzar's system. They were very bright, they were very smart, they worked hard, they learned quick, and they were very gifted at what they did. And at this time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in the position of governor. Now, we know what a governor is here. A little bit different back then. The governors back then had a lot more power to exercise the will of the king. There weren't so many laws constraining their behavior. So if they were a governor over a particular region or a particular segment of the economy or whatever it was, they had full power and authority based upon the king's demands to do whatever it took to make things happen the way the king wanted. They weren't constrained by much really at all. And so we come to a place where Nebuchadnezzar rules at this point just about everything he wants to rule. Now, when you have everything that you've ever wanted, how many people have seen Willy Wonka? How many don't want to admit they still watch Willy Wonka? Right? I watch it! I don't care if you know. I watch Willy Wonka. And at the end of Willy Wonka, you know, he says this to Charlie, you know, the moment they're in the Wonka Vader flying up above everything. I even remember the Wonka Vader. Right? All right, so they're flying up above everything, and he kneels down. He's looking at Charlie, and he says, Charlie, do you know what happened to the little boy who got everything he's always wanted? Charlie says, no. He said, he died a happy boy. Right? Well, okay, well, we both know that that's not really true in life, but it's true in Hollywood. But Nebuchadnezzar at this point had everything he wanted. He pretty much conquered the world he wanted. He had integrated people in. And what happens when people become positions of power and authority and unbelievable success, just like it was true in 2018, it's going to be true in 2019. They get a little stuck up. They get a little stuck up. They get a little proud of themselves. Their egos get a little bit out of control, and so much so, what Nebuchadnezzar does here in the early part of Daniel is he wants to declare how great he is. And so he does this little bitty thing. He goes down to an area called the Plain of Dura. Dura means plain, so the Plain of Plain. He goes down to this area. It's by the Tigris River, very heavily traveled area. A lot of people would know it. It wasn't an obscure place at all. It was very obvious, very much front and center. People would travel by it all the time on the river as well as by foot. And he goes down there and he does this little bitty thing. He builds a 90-foot tall statue, 90-foot tall and 9 feet wide statue of himself. The first selfie. Right there, 90 foot tall, 9 feet wide, right there by the Tigris River. And he builds it. And not only does he build it, now, he could have built it in a less obvious way. He could have downplayed it a little, could have built it out of wood, maybe built it out of clay. No. No, he built it out of gold. So his ego is 90 foot tall, 9 feet wide, and solid gold. How many of you need one of those in your house? Right? I mean, it's the first huge selfie. And now he builds his huge statue and he becomes really sort of stuck up. And it goes to another level. Check out what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 4. It says this. It says, now the herald, this guy who came out and proclaimed stuff for the king, now the herald proclaimed aloud, you are commanded, O peoples and nations and languages, that when you hear the sound of every kind of music, that you fall down and worship the golden image of King Nebuchadnezzar that he has set up. Well, this goes to another level. Not only does he want a 90-foot tall, 9 feet wide gold statue of himself, now everyone's got to worship it. So when you hear the music play, all nations, all languages, all people have to bow down and worship the statue. That's what you got to do. Now, he goes on and says this. Check this out. He goes on and says that those who don't and whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. So Nebuchadnezzar is on maybe the first well-documented, hugest ego trip of all time. He builds this 90-foot tall, 9-foot wide statue. He says, everybody's got to worship it. When you hear all the music start to play, you've got to fall down. You got to worship it. And oh, by the way, I'm so committed to the worship of me. That's where he is. I'm so committed to the worship of me that if you don't worship me, we're going to throw you in the fire. Now, there were three types of furnaces, roughly, in Babylon. There was one type of furnace that was used to bake bread. It was about 10 feet tall, maybe 5 or 6 feet wide, and had an opening to the side where they would put the fire and the wood and all that. And it was clay, and it would heat up. And when it would heat up, they would roll out dough, and when it get hot, they would stick the dough on the side, and that's how they cooked the bread. That was one furnace. That's not what this one was. The second furnace was used for smelting and different types of things they needed to do then. It was bigger. It was probably about maybe 15 feet tall, they estimate, probably about 10 feet wide, and it would get stoked up real hot, and it was opened at the top, and there was an opening down at the bottom where they would pour out whatever they were doing, and there was a ladder system sort of around the top that you would go up to the top and dump stuff in. Now, probably not that one. There was a third type of furnace that they had in Babylon, and it was to burn dead bodies, because people back then died a lot. And so it was known that the Babylonians burnt dead bodies. That's, sorry to gross you out at church, but that's what they did. And so it was opened at the top, and it was huge. They estimate these furnaces could have been as tall as 15 to 20 foot tall and probably about 10 foot wide. They were open at the top with the ladder system around, and they would stoke it up real hot, and they would throw the bodies in the top. More likely than not, this was the one they were going to get thrown into. So the first type of person you got to look at in 2019 and you have to rise above are the stuck-up people. The people who develop systems and people who develop policies and procedures that cause people to worship them. Or maybe by virtue of their money, they think they should be worshipped. Maybe by virtue of their education, they should be worshipped. Maybe by virtue of their position in the community, they should be worshipped. Worship might be a strong word, but how about obeyed? How about listened to? How about surrendered to? How about that? Those are the people that you're going to encounter in 2019. They're all over the place. They're everywhere you turn. But I've got great news for you today. Through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can love them in spite of themselves. Did you get that? In spite of themselves, you can love them. And we're called to love them. We're not called to worship them, but we're called to love them. So you're going to find some of this going on in 2019. But you're better than that. You're bigger than that. You can get beyond that. I promise you, you can. Now there's a second type of person that we find. And these are the people who sort of suck up. Now, if you read the story basically goes like this. That the music sounded, everything began to play, and everybody bowed down except for three guys. Now, we're not sure where Daniel is. A lot of people ask, well, Daniel's sort of buddies with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Where was he during this time? We don't know. Probably on a mission somewhere, but we're not sure. But it just wasn't around at this time. So all the music begins to play. Everyone bows down except three guys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, here's what happens. Look at verse. This is awesome. In verse 8. Therefore, the certain time came, the Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar. So there's these group of the Chaldeans. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Jews. They didn't like each other. Ethnically, they didn't like each other. Racially, they didn't like each other. This was a prejudice-based thing. Let me just say to you, in 2019, prejudice will not go away. I pray it would. I wish it would. It would be awesome if it just went away. But it's going to be here in 2019. And you're going to have to. People are going to attack you because of who you are. Not because of what you've done, maybe, but maybe just because of who you are. You're a believer. You go to church. People may come after you. You're white and educated. People may come after you. You're black and educated. People may come after you. You're a female. People may come after you. You're a male. People may come after you. People don't have to have any rational thought to be prejudiced. You know that, right? There's got to be nothing rational about this. They can say they don't like a particular aspect. You're too skinny, you're too fat, you're too tall, you're too short, you have too much hair, you don't have enough hair. I mean, it could be anything people can be prejudicial against. But just know in 2019, that exists. And here's the great news for you. The Lord in you through the person of the Holy Spirit can help you rise above even that. I promise you he can. So, the Chaldeans, right, they come and they go to the king. Now listen to this. Here's how they suck up. O king, live forever. Yeah, that's a suck up line. O king, you're so awesome. Live forever. I just pray you are eternal because you're so great. And then what do? They rat out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They basically say, king, you know that statue you made? Yeah, you know, the one down there. They didn't bend, they didn't bow, they didn't worship. This is a horrible thing. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to have to know that in your workplace, where you live, where you work, the people you associate with, the social circles you find yourself in, when you stand for the right thing, there will be people who stand against you. When you stand for principle and you stand for rules of law, when you stand for what is decent and right and honorable and good, there will be people who stand against you in 2019. Will. I wish it wasn't true, and I wish I could protect you. I love you. I'm your friend. Man, I wish I could guard you from that, but I can't. And they're going to be around you, and it's going to happen. People are going to trade you. They're going to trade on you. They're going to turn on you. They're going to suck up to the boss, and largely because you've done what's right. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand, and what happens is the king calls them in. And the king says to them, you know, is it true that you didn't bow and that you didn't worship and you didn't do this? Because it said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it is said that you do not serve the gods that I worship nor the image that I have set up. Is this true? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 16 says this. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be true, in other words, if you're going to throw us in the fire because we didn't do what you said to do, okay, going to throw us in the fire, then the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up. They're the stand-up people. I'm asking you in 2019 to be the stand-up people. When people bend and bow to the lesser things, I'm asking you to stand up. When people give themselves over to lesser items and objects of worship, in other words, they take the temporary things of the earth and they extrapolate them and then advance them in a value base in their mind to a level that says they're most important and they're at the highest level, I'm asking you not to do that. Why? Because temporary things only produce temporary satisfaction. Nothing temporary produces eternal value. It's not made to do it. It is physically impossible. Amen. Don't give yourself to things that a well-placed hurricane can take care of. Don't find ultimate value in that. Don't find ultimate value in the things that 10 years from now you won't enjoy anymore. Don't do it. Stand up. Stand strong. What are some things that are going to come at you? Trust me, you're going to be asked to bend. You're going to be asked to bow in 2019. It's coming. And it's going to come in a lot of different ways. First of all, financial problems can cause you to absolutely bend, break, bow, and go crazy. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, we all run for the bridge sometimes. Who's going to be the first one to jump, right? I mean, we get there. And in 2019, some of you are going to go to that road. Let me encourage you. The God who is able, just like here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, look, O king, we're not going to bend or bow to anything else because God is able to help us wherever we are and whatever we're in to do whatever he wants us to do. And even if he doesn't, we're not bending. And if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. You enter into financial situations, do everything you can. Be smart, ask God for wisdom, for opportunity, for open doors, for favor, for friends, for connections. Do everything you can, but do not abandon your faith because God's not abandoned you. Amen. Could be shame. Some of you sit here today and you're filled with shame because of past decisions, choices you made years ago, maybe many years ago, and that shame still rests in your heart and your mind. Don't bend to it. The scripture says in Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're here today, it doesn't matter what your yesterday was. It's yesterday. It is not your today. It does not matter. Let it go and stand. On a horrible front note, the worst possible thing imaginable could visit your home in 2019, and that's death. Most of us in this room have experienced death in our family, and it's horrible, and it's sad. I got to tell you about a situation. I have two best adult friends, been my friends for decades. Dan Doster, who's a businessman, lives in North Carolina, and then Chris Stevens is a pastor in Knoxville. Been pastoring up there for 25 years. Pastors a church of about 8,000. Woo, a little bit bigger than here. And I talked with him on Friday. I'd gotten a message. His longtime assistant, Gloria, she's a wonderful, godly woman, had a husband, two children, been with Chris ever since he's been at the church, almost 30 years now. They've been at the church, almost 30 years. They're best friends. About 3 years ago, Gloria's husband died. He went to the doctor and was found to have cancer and died very quickly. It was horrible. It was terrible. He was a great man. While Chris was on a cruise, and this is why it was weird that I heard from him because he was out of the country, Gloria's only daughter, she has two kids, was in a car wreck about 5 days ago in Knoxville and was on life support. And 3 days ago, she died. And I've known the family. I knew her when she was this big. And so Chris comes home, and I talk to him Friday afternoon. And I said, well, how's Gloria doing? He said, well, she's not good. She's horrible, but she has a great support system. So she's obviously very ingrained in the church, and she has great friends and great people around her. And, you know, she's got a great support system. Can I push the pause button and just do a commercial for a minute? This is why you need a church. You don't need a church when everything's great. We love you and we want you. But you need a church when life crashes in. See, God promises to walk with you, not to protect you all the time. And so she said she'll be okay. Well, there's a different dimension to this that sometimes we don't think about. There's another dynamic at play here. Let me throw this out to you. As a pastor, we're called to stand up and answer the question in the midst of hurting and anguish and pain, why? Sometimes we have to answer the why question. And so Chris has been my best friend. I mean, my last night as a single man, we shared a hotel room. And that's as far as it's going. Don't ask me about anything else. Just to say I forgot my socks on the way to the wedding. So anyway, just joking. It was wonderful. But I asked Chris. And I asked him if I could share this. He said I could. I asked him, I said, how are you doing? What kind of answers are you going to have? And I asked him a scary question that you don't want to ask people you love, because have you ever not wanted to know the answer to something? Because you really don't want the answer to this. But I had to ask him because I'm his friend. Friends ask the hard questions. I said, where's your faith right now? And I didn't know what he was going to say. Trust me when I tell you this was tragic as you can know. And Chris and I are roughly the same age. He's a few years older, so our spiritual formation is very similar. The music that shaped our spiritual life is very similar. He was quiet for a minute, and he said, I won't bow. He said, I'm not going to bow. See, I knew what text that came from, right here. And I knew what song it came from. It was a Russ Staff song, right? I knew where that came from. And he said, I'm not going to bow, Terry. In 2019, life may visit your home in some horrific ways. But I beg you as your friend, stand up. Stand. Stand up. Don't bow to the lesser things. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had resolved before their encounter with Nebuchadnezzar, O king, throw us in the fire if you will, but we will stand up. We are not going to bow. What happened? Quickly, let me end our time together. Well, they didn't. And Nebuchadnezzar, true to his word, took him out to the furnace, took him to the top of the ladder system, to the big open hole, tied him up, and threw him in. You didn't really want it to end like that, did you? That's not the way we wanted it to end, right? They got thrown in. What a drag. Right? So they get thrown in the fire. But as they said before, it doesn't matter what you do to us, O King. We are not going to worship lesser things. We're not going to do it. So the king goes to the top of the ladder system, looks in, and he asks a couple of questions. You can find this in the verses following on there before verse 26. He looks over and he says, wait a minute, didn't we tie them up? Yep. Or they're walking around. He said, now this time, didn't we only throw three guys in and not four? So yep, king, we only threw three in. He said, I see four down there. And listen to what he says. It goes like this in verse 26. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, after he sees these four guys, whatever, he said, listen, come out of there, you servants of the Most High God. Woo, he got it. That the God who was able to protect them did. Amen. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us, and we don't know, so this is just what I think. I sort of think the Lord was down there waiting on them. I think he was already in the fire, waiting for him to drop on down. Remember that in 2019 when you approached the fire. God may be already in the fire waiting on you to be with you, to walk with you through the fire. Not to protect you from it, but to walk with you through it. He may be down there waiting on you already. Here's what I know in 2019. God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. He loves all of your questions, your struggles, your doubts, your concerns, your issues. He knows them all. He's acquainted with them all. And he loves you anyway. And when life happens in 2019, either because of the stuck-up people or the suck-up people, or it happens because life happens to you and you find yourself in the fire, resolve like Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. O King, our God who is able will deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, we will not bend and worship your image or other gods. Stand up when the doctor says you have an illness. Stand up when economic hardship comes. Stand up when you have doubts and concerns about your faith and you don't know which way you're going. Stand when you're dealing with your children. Stand up when you're dealing with a boss. Stand up. Don't abandon your faith. Stand up. If you'll do that, I promise in the middle of all the stuff you're going through, you'll find another person walking with you. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Because he loves you that much and cares about you that much. Amen? Amen? Amen. Pray with me if you will. I wonder if, before we move into our time of communion, those who are helping with communion, if you could come forward now, that'd be great. I wonder before we move into that time, if some of you would say, Terry, I will make a commitment in 2019. I will make a commitment that I will stand up for the right things. I will stand up for the good things. I will stand up for the great things. I am not going to let the lesser things of the world pull me aside. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand up. I wonder if you'll make that commitment today. If so, just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand all over this room. I'm going to stand up. Amen. All over this room. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For those of you who are here that may not know the Lord, I've got to present this to you. Maybe you would say today that God's awakened faith in your life and in your heart. Remember this, that the presence of faith doesn't mean the absence of questions. You can have the presence of questions and still have the presence of faith. They don't fight against each other all the time. Here's what you got to believe to know Christ and know him personally. Here's the gospel, real simply. You have to believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he was perfect in all of his ways, and that he died on the cross for you and did for you on the cross what you could not do for yourself. You have to believe that he lay dead in the grave for 3 days. On the third day, you have to believe that he resurrected from the grave. And that if you place your faith and trust in him alone, he will forgive you of your sin. He will be your Lord and he will be your Savior. You have to come to the place where you say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you resurrected. I surrender my life to you as Lord. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Now, you can have a whole lot of questions outside of those truths. I get it. We all do. But those truths are what will absolutely transform your life here and now. God will work on the rest of it in time. So if you're here today and you need to know Christ, I encourage you to pray this prayer in your heart and in your mind. Just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for letting me pray. Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross. Thank you for that. I believe on the third day you resurrected from the grave. Thank you for that. And right now I surrender my heart and my life to you. Please forgive me of my sins as I declare you Lord of my life. Thank you for hearing me. Holy Spirit, come and fill me and seal me right now. I want to walk with you, Jesus, the rest of my days. Now, if you prayed that or something like that for the first time today, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to just slip up your hand so I can pray for you more specifically. One, two, three. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that after you take this step, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Right? That's what you need to do. You need to take that step and follow the Lord. And we are ready and we are able and we want to help you with that. Every single week we're ready to baptize. So if you need to do that, in just a minute, you'll have a chance to fill out a communication card. Just write on that, need to be baptized. Leave your phone number. We will contact you. Better than that, come down forward when we're done and find me and let's talk and pray for a few minutes. I'll stay here as long as I need to help you and to serve you. So we want to do that for sure. Father, thank you for this time of decision. Thank you for those lives that were changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to